Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. I'm really excited about introducing our guest today, Bethany Walker. She is our curriculum director and has a wealth of knowledge she is going to share today from her experiences in education, and she's going to walk us through what the curriculum process looks like when we write courses. And I know she's going to answer a lot of questions that maybe you have. So if you are brand new to North Star and want to know what your kids are learning and how they're learning, stick around for that. If you're maybe checking out North Star and not quite sure if we're the fit for you, I think you're going to find out today. You're going to hear how we just biblically integrate Jesus and a biblical worldview in all our courses, and how it just flows through everything we do and how the Holy Spirit really guides us. And so I cannot wait for Bethany to share that with you today. She has a degree in elementary education and Spanish education. She has a master's in TESOL from the University of Findlay, and she also has a second master's in curriculum and instruction, which has helped her become a reading specialist teaching K through 6 schools. And she's also been a director, not only a teacher, of a small international school. She has international experience. She loves her family and just pours into them, whether it's playing games, hiking. She loves to go walking. And there's so much more to Bethany than that. That's just a little start. And she's going to share with you. But she always has a smile on her face. She is always just so encouraging. And I love talking to her daily as we work together just to bring excellent education to students. So welcome to the show, Bethany. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to talk with you today.
Yes. And so I found out something about you through our survey, that you like to rollerblade. I don't think I knew that. So tell us, how often do you get to rollerblade? What is that like? Do you do that with your family?
Yes, I'm a little more hesitant now as I get older because I'm afraid of falling and breaking something. But my husband is a runner. And when we first got married, he was running and there was no way I could keep up with him. And he's a marathon runner. And so I got some rollerblades. And you do have to have kind of a smooth surface. But when we lived in Virginia, there's great bike paths there that are paved. And so I got a lot of experience doing that, and it was fun. So I mostly walk now, but I do rollerblade occasionally in our neighborhood. And I live in Houston, Texas, which is flat. So that's always it's good to rollerblade on flat surfaces.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have a helmet? Do you put on like knee pads and
elbow pads? I do. Yes, because I have fallen. I went down a hill too fast in my early time of learning how to rollerblade, and I had a kind of a wipeout, and so I'm a little more cautious now, but yes.
That's fun. So you have to send me a picture. I haven't seen you with all your gear on and what that looks like. I don't think I've ever tried rollerblading, so I think I would be hesitant, a little nervous. I would definitely wipe out.
Well, I roller skated when I was a kid. We had roller rinks and, you know, the four wheels. And I really loved that. It was like a Friday night event that we would do. And so rollerblading was kind of a natural piece after that.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your family, because I know you enjoy spending so much time with them and you really make it a priority to spend time with your family outside of work. So can you give maybe some tips to people that are listening that maybe might struggle with balancing that time, and just share with us, you know, what y'all do and what your family dynamic is like?
Sure. My husband of 23 years is, and I have, just really enjoyed being married and having children together. He's my best friend, and we're kind of looking forward to empty nest syndrome soon and just looking at time without children at the home all the time. But we've enjoyed every phase of our children's lives. I know that for some people, they lament the loss of the little ones, but I did enjoy my children when they were little, although I was exhausted a lot of the time. But over the years, I've just really wanted to have joy at the stage they were in. And so now I have an adult son who's in, just finished his sophomore year of college, and a high school daughter who's starting her senior year. And that's just been a joy too, to see them coming into their adulthood and making decisions for themselves in a new way and interacting with us differently. So we have enjoyed games a lot. When we lived overseas, we didn't always have electricity. So games were a great fun thing to do by candlelight. And so that's been a real joy for us as a family, and it comes from my family of origin as well. We used to get a game every Christmas Eve and a new one, and so we would play that together. And so I just grew up playing games with my family and really enjoy that. Now we still do it when my son comes home from school. We often will play a game together over the weekend. So that's really fun. And we like to go outside and hike and go to national parks together. We're going to be going to Big Bend in Texas later this in a couple weeks as a family. And so I'm just really looking forward to that. My husband is a birder. And so he loves to, is really good at finding birds and listening to their calls. And I'm not nearly as good at that as he is, but I enjoy being with him when he goes, and my daughter does as well. So
I love hearing about all that. Tell us some of your favorite games that y'all like to play. Maybe someone would like to go get a fun game. I know you sent me a game, and that's been so fun, but tell us about your favorite games.
Well, I like, Clue was the one I grew up on with my mom, and she always would win. It was the only thing she ever won. She didn't really, she wasn't very competitive. And so Clue was one of my favorite games growing up. But we've also found some new games like Code Names. When my kids were little, I like that one because it's a word game and a word play. I don't really love Scrabble. I don't know, interactive games, but some that my kids loved when they were growing up were Sleeping Queens, which is a game right game. And it was designed by a 6-year-old in her family. And so we've looked for card games like that, like Slamwich. And I recently played a game with your son, which was called Taco Cat. Something.
Goat cheese pizza.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a new one for me, but I love games like that, especially if they are not really, like, I like strategy games too, but I prefer ones that don't take hours and hours on time of time. I played Monopoly with my cousin when I was growing up, but it always seemed to take forever. And so I like ones that you can play and then stop.
That's good. There's a new Monopoly now that's much shorter in time. So if you like Monopoly, and it's like a credit card. You have a credit card, so you have a little machine, and it's very limited. Once the properties are gone, like, you're done. So might check it out. I guess it's still called Monopoly, but you can see with the credit card, and super fast. So we play that a lot. Hannah bought that. Yeah.
There's this one Uno card game that my in-laws have been really enjoying. They're in their 80s, and it spits it out. I don't know what that one's called, but it's like a really fast, and it has a little machine that comes with it. And so that's been kind of fun to have a new version of Uno. When we lived overseas, Uno was a great game for teaching language, for learning the local language, but also teaching English and playing with local children. They loved Uno, and you could do colors and numbers and just teach a few words. And that was a great community builder and helping my kids build relationships with local kids. So
that's good. Before we get into the curriculum in North Star, I know that you're very involved with your children's education and just helping them along the way. So do you have any tips that you've learned with working with your own children that parents might want to hear that are listening?
Sure. The biggest thing I discovered with my own children, even I was a reading specialist, even when my children were little. And so is that they're different. And not to expect any of them to be the same. So my son, he just sort of taught himself to read. Like, we read to him and he taught himself to read, and people thought I was this brilliant mom and teacher. And I was like, really? I just read out loud to him. there wasn't a lot of work going into that. And he just loved that. And that was his personality. And my daughter has dyslexia. And so it took her a lot longer for her to learn to read. And just walking beside her, I learned so much from being her mom as an educator, in helping her become an advocate for herself and have a voice, getting good testing from a group that came out to where we were serving overseas, who did really quality testing to find out what it was that was going on in her brain that was making it more difficult for her to learn to read. And then also helping her find the strategies that help her to be successful. And she has been quite successful in high school, and I expect we'll do well in college. And but it has not always been easy. And so I think each child is different, and just really getting to know them and spending time knowing them as a learner is really important for all children.
Good. I know you're so proud of them for all they're achieving now. And it's been awesome to watch you talk about them and just walk alongside them. So just thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks for being a great role model of an awesome mom and educator. So looking at the curriculum at North Star, we have an amazing curriculum team that God keeps adding to every year. And so we praise him for the resources and just bringing phenomenal people. So do you want to take a moment first and just share quickly about the team and the types of people and their skills that he has brought?
Certainly. So I have just... it's been such a privilege to work with such a competent team of educators, and who have such a variety of skill sets. So as you can imagine, in an online school, the technology is constantly changing. We develop our own courses for about 80% of what we offer, and that process in and of itself is very time consuming, but also a great joy. And so it's really important to have people who are experts at different areas of the curriculum, and also experts in technology. And then also that each of the team members is a learner, because we're constantly learning things. The technology updates, or things work differently in the learning management system, which is basically the place where you put the lesson on the screen, is called the learning management system. So I'm sure you've been in one at some point in your life, if you've done any courses online, even if it was just a webinar. And so just learning the changes that technology is going through all the time is an important part of what we do as a team. And so I've just been really humbled to know that, yes, there's never a need for me to know everything, and I can't really know everything. I have to trust the people who are working with me. And so it really is a team effort, all that we do at North Star on a weekly basis.
It is. Yes, I love the community that God has built here. And so thank you for stepping into that role. Bethany stepped into that role this school year and has done a great job with that, just transition and bringing on more people. So huge thank you to everybody on the curriculum and team and what you're doing. So for those that have no idea how to write a course, or, you know, what it even entails at all, can you just walk us through step by step of the process that we go through?
Sure, I'd love to. So with most schools, you have a cycle where you would review curriculum. And this would be true in a brick and mortar school. It's true for public school as well as private school. It's just, we need to be looking at what curriculum we're teaching and whether it's still a right fit. And we need to regularly and systematically be doing that. So all accrediting agencies will ask about that. What is the curriculum cycle that you use at your school? Our curriculum cycle is a 6-year program. And so we look at different department areas over a 6-year period. And so they go through a beginning cycle of just when we start that cycle, looking at, okay, so let's do some evaluation of the courses and how the curriculum is set up right now. We work on getting feedback and then collecting new resources. And then we start doing some training and professional development for any of the teachers who are going to write the curriculum for us, particularly at North Star, because we write most of it ourselves. And so that takes an ongoing investment in our teachers and our authors who are writing. And so we start a little cohort where they're working together, and that has challenges in an online environment, but we're able to meet together regularly and read usually a book together to talk about what kinds of instructional practices we want to make sure we implement into the writing of our courses. So after that cohort works together for about 4 months, so it's usually a group of about 15 teachers who are also authors, plus our curriculum team working alongside them, or at least some members of our curriculum team for each cycle. And then they go through kind of after those 4 months of working together and just kind of talking through a vertical plan, which is basically when you look at the curriculum from fourth grade, because North Star starts at fourth grade right now and goes up to 12th grade. So you want to look at the vertical alignment. So what are we learning in fourth grade and then fifth grade and sixth grade? And I know that that's really clear in math, but sometimes I've taught at a school overseas where I first arrived. And it basically, each parent was kind of teaching what their passion was about. And the students in elementary learned magnets 3 years in a row because the parent who came in to teach was each time was really interested in magnets. And so you just want to make sure that's not happening. You want to make sure that students are getting a broad range of educational experience and that it's standards-based and we're looking at making proficient, academically excellent students. So that's part of that process. So after the four months of working together in learning cohorts, we start a course. And each teacher who's going to author a course for North Star goes through a 10-week course where they're online as a student. And one of the exciting pieces that the feedback we've been getting from teachers in that process is that it's really great to be reminded what it's like to be a student and the things that they've forgotten. It gives them empathy for their own students. The majority of the folks who write for us, write courses for us, are our own teachers. And so they've had this relationship and experience with students, and it's just good to go back and be a student a little bit and put yourself in the student's point of view and their experience and realize, oh, I really need to be more clear in these kinds of assignments because I want my students to be successful and I needed that extra support. And so we give them an experience of being a student and learning whatever the new technology pieces are, as well as doing what we call backwards design. And that is a concept that is kind of a curriculum term. And so you might not have heard that before, but it's basically looking at the end first. Where do we want students to go? And what do we want them to be able to do and accomplish when they finish a course? And then we break it down from the end first all the way back to the beginning. And how do we set them up for success in the units to get through the instruction to be in the place where we want them to be at the end? And what knowledge for each particular course do we want them to gain? What skills and strategies do we want them to be able to do? And also, what type of assessments will we use to determine whether they have met those goals? And we look particularly at what are the very specific, the most important standards for any particular course. So now this looks different if it's a culinary course than it looks like if it's an English course or a math course. And so it has to be specifically designed. So we usually do our courses in cohorts by department. And so in that cycle, this coming year right now, we've just had a group of teachers finish, and they're mostly social studies courses that are going to be written in this next year. And next year, it'll be science. And so each year, we look at a different primary department. The process after that 10-week course is that it takes, well, starting from the 10-week course, we tell teachers and authors, this is a 15-month process from now until we roll out your course and that you're going to be writing for North Star. And that 15 months is a partnership between the author and the curriculum coach. So they're paired with one other person on the curriculum team. However, we kind of work in tandem. So one person might have a skill, like using a particular type of technology, and we'll pull them in for a small project to help support an author. But for the most part, they're walking along on this journey with a curriculum coach. And I like to say it's not like a relay race. So if you're going to use a sports analogy, you know, a relay race where you pass the baton, it's not like the author comes along and then passes the baton to the coach, and then the coach passes it to the curriculum director, who then publishes it. There is a little bit of that over the long haul, but it's more like doubles tennis. So you've got the author with the curriculum coach, and they're hitting that tennis ball across to the other side, and it's coming back, and one person takes it this time and the other person takes it that time. So it's working together. So the author and the coach are really writing a course together, looking at the standards and planning out what students will need. It's really challenging, but also very exciting. And I think it's really important for us as authors and as curriculum writers to be anticipating what we need for students and what students might need. One of the trickiest parts of teaching online is that we can't see the student's face when they're confused or when they're excited or when they're really enjoying something. If you've ever been in a brick and mortar classroom, I'm sure you've seen this, where a student is getting off task, or they're fidgeting a little bit, or the teacher's doing a lesson, and then all of a sudden the student makes this face of confusion on their brow. And if the teacher's right there in front of them, they know, oh, okay, something I said didn't quite make sense. Doing that online takes a lot more intentionality. So you have to anticipate what students might struggle with, and in order to give them everything they need in order to be successful. And so thinking about, how do we set up notebooks intentionally? How do we get our materials together? I like to tell elementary parents, make sure you have a schedule so that you have times for break and recess and snacks and get up and do some jumping jacks, because we have to make a plan in a sense. You can't just sit in front of a computer all day long. And so just being really intentional and helping students to take those breaks, to have a break on the screen even of this is how much you've done so far, and now we're going to do something a little different to show the practice that you have been doing, the learning that you've been doing. We're really encouraging our authors to put small lessons on the screen in video format on a regular basis in their course, so that the teacher, even if it's not the teacher who's actually grading the material, but one of our teachers who's developed the course, is right there with the student. And also trying to keep those short, because if you do a 20 or 25 minute video, then it's, I don't know if you've ever watched an instructional video, even on YouTube, like it, 20 or 25 minutes is a long time to stay focused. And so we're moving to very short videos of between, you know, anywhere from 2 minutes to 7 minutes is our goal most of the time. And there are exceptions to that, depending on what the content is and the age of the student. But that's a really important piece. So we have what's called a mini lesson. And if you were live with students, you would have a mini lesson at the beginning, and also some kind of link back to what did you learn before, and then in some time of practice and collaboration with other students through discussion boards or something else to be able to practice what they're learning. And then we also include a reflection piece. We're really wanting students to think about their learning, use that metacognition is what we call it, but it's thinking about your thinking. And the research shows that when students think about their thinking and they reflect on what they're learning, that they hold on to that longer. And so really just working to put great academic practice and pedagogy into our courses so that students can be successful, that they can enjoy what they're learning. And so that's the process. So we write over a year, and 3 months. And then afterwards we review along the way as authors are writing. And then we have a review process where we use our course evaluation tool in order to make sure all the pieces that we require at North Star are included in each course. And then we're ready to roll it out. And so in August each year, we are able to offer new courses. And this year we have about 22 new courses that are going to be offered. So that's very exciting.
So exciting. Yes, that's a fabulous explanation. So thorough. And just as I'm sitting here, so proud to be a part of North Star and what is happening here. Yeah, that couldn't have been a better explanation. I think it just so clear. So hopefully as you're listening, you can see and you can hear what is happening. But if you have any questions at any time, our curriculum department is always open for help with that. Okay, Bethany, as you were just walking through that and thinking back, because I know y'all just recently had a really incredible celebration time of everything you've done. If you can look, since you've been at North Star, what do you think the biggest problem in our curriculum has been, and how did you fix it?
Mm-hmm. So as we've been looking back the last 5 years, because we just went through a reaccreditation process, which is a great time of reflection, and just looking back at the last 5 years in particular, we do that every year as we look back at what can we do better, what are students saying, what are parents saying, what are teachers noticing in their classes. But when you do that over a five-year period, you can see a lot more growth. It's kind of like watching a child grow up. You know, if you see them every day, you don't notice as much. But if you haven't seen them in a year, you're like, oh my goodness, they grew like 2 inches, 3 inches. And so that's what we did recently, is we went back to look at courses that we had written 5 years ago that were called excellent courses, and then to really look at the different pieces in those courses and what does it look like now, and how have we changed over time, and what have been those areas of growth. And there were three pieces that we really have improved on and changed over the last 5 years in particular that I can draw out for you. The first one is onboarding. So when students start with us, it was pretty traditional in online schools, even just 5 years ago, to kind of think that figuring out the introduction and the learning who you are could be done in a very short period of time, and that orientation didn't need to be as involved as it might be in those first weeks of school when you're live. And what we have realized is that students online need that just as much, maybe more so, than students who are in person. And so just really setting students up for success, going through a very clear orientation process that's also online before students start courses with us, and then also having pieces in the first couple of weeks where students are taught about the expectations in that course and what assignments are going to look like and how to set up their notebooks, those kinds of practical things that I think in the online teaching world, we hadn't paid as much attention to before that. And so that has really grown. And I think as a result, I know as a result, because we've done surveys and asked parents and students how their success has changed over time, that students are being more successful, they're completing more courses. And we have a very good rate of students who complete courses at North Star. And so that's been an exciting piece that we've seen over that time. The other piece is rubrics. And so we've really grown in our ability to give good feedback to students, and very specific. It's so important for students to know what's expected of them in the assignment, especially if you're not there to clarify in person all the time. And so having rubrics are a list of what is proficient, an expectation of what is proficient or developing or just beginning, and where are students on that continuum for this particular assignment. And the more in-depth those assessment tools are for students, the more clarity they have, the more consistency teachers have in grading things, and the more feedback conversation can happen between the teacher and the student on the screen, but also in, you know, in social media contacts through our team system, which is what we use, and also through email. The third thing that was really evident in pieces that we have changed over the last 5 years is how we really are looking at biblical worldview integration in a much different way than we did 5 years ago. And so making sure that we don't just put a devotion or a verse in the course, but that we're storytelling and sharing our lives as adults on the screen and our journey with Jesus. And so that journey on the screen of telling our story or telling particular events in context of that relationship, it builds relationships with students. It also helps help students to see practical ways in which they can have a relationship with Christ. And so that's been the most important piece that we've, as a Christian school, have really developed over the last 5 years. And one thing that I delight in, so my original background in education was in public school, and I love teaching in public school. I taught in some Title I schools where we have sometimes the most needy of our students. And I felt like it was such a wonderful ministry to be able to love and care for students who came from more disadvantaged situations. And God really called me to that. But then later when we served overseas, I was called to be a director of an overseas school. And I loved that too. And then coming to North Star to teach has just been a real delight for me. But one of the things I had to learn when I first came as a curriculum writer and as a teacher was this idea. I don't know. My mom was a teacher, and I come from a long line of educators in my family, and so we often talked about the teachable moment. And in a public school, that's what you talk about. There's this teachable moment. Something comes up that you didn't expect would happen, and it's just, oh, that connects so perfectly with what we did 3 days ago. And let me bring, or this is what we're doing in math, and this is what we're doing in English. And let me put that connection together. But what I discovered as I was writing my first course at North Star was that teachable moment really is a moment and meeting of the Holy Spirit. And so as you're planning out your course and you're trying to anticipate what students are going to be learning or doing, and how you are crafting all the pieces to make that happen, you start to move things around a little bit. And then there is this moment where you're like, oh, this would be perfect, or this is a story I could tell that really relates to that part of the journey, whether it's in social studies or science or English or Bible. And so that's been a real joy for me, because it was something I had to learn in being in a Christian school and being able to share more explicitly about my faith in that setting. That's just been a real delight for me. So that teachable moment for me now is really noticing the Holy Spirit and His work in our curriculum as we write those courses for students and families and schools.
But as you're listening, you can definitely pick up that our process for curriculum writing is not stale. In any way, it's exciting. It's robust. It's just constantly changing and evolving. We have to do that with technology. And then most importantly, like Bethany, you just said, the Holy Spirit really is the leader and the guider. And so as a leader of the curriculum department, how do you make sure that you keep your team focused to rely on the Holy Spirit in every area?
Mm-hmm. Well, we pray regularly in the mornings as a staff at North Star. And so everything starts with prayer, and meetings start with prayer, and we pray for one another. Yesterday, Wednesdays are my big meeting days. So I had so many meetings yesterday, but also just stopping to pray for one another. When you are remote and not face to face with people, sometimes you don't know all of the little things that might be happening in their lives. But sharing prayer requests and needs and then praying for one another can really build that relationship and also builds trust. And so on our curriculum team, we encourage one another to share prayer requests and to share celebrations. We do that in our team's environment. We have a social piece too, where people can post pictures when they were on a hike or talk about what they're doing with their children, trying to create that in the hall conversation experience that you would have if you were face to face in an office or working in a school.
Or lunchroom, having lunch together.
The lunchroom chat or the teacher's room.
Lounge, yeah, teacher's lounge.
That's right. And so, so we have those pieces that really help us stay grounded. But then also looking at, as we're beginning to create a course, one of the things we also think about is, what are natural connections for biblical instruction that relate to this content? So it's not looking for Jesus in the textbook or looking for Jesus in the novel, but it's really noticing intentionally how what we know as believers is in all truth, that God is all truth. And so just looking at the connections that naturally are there, because they are there, because God is everywhere. And so just really being able to notice those pieces and encourage one another in that journey of seeing what God is doing in our lives, what God is doing in the curriculum, what God is doing in any resource that we use. And so noticing that and then telling the story of that so that students can relate to it and understand it in a personal way. So it's not just something we put on top, but it's integrated and really part of all of what we create.
So we just went through accreditation, which we love going through because it's such a great time of celebration to see what all God has done in and through us, but also find new ways that we can improve. So I think as you're listening, you probably hear that we never settle and just, okay, we've reached the bar. We're going to stop, but we continue to grow and find new ways to do things better. And so this past accreditation in April was an incredible time of celebration. And we're accredited with Cognia and also ACSI. So we have a regional accreditation and an international accreditation. And so both of them were outstanding commendations for us. But Bethany, I want you to pick a quote or a commendation that we received that you are most proud of that you can read to us from our accreditation that we just went through.
Sure. One of our, they pointed out six in particular major commendations for us. And one of those, two of them were mostly about the curriculum, but one of those was just a real celebration for us on the curriculum team. It says that biblical truths are woven into the content in a truly authentic way through storytelling, personal example, or illustrations from nature. Material meets rigorous age-appropriate standards and yet is varied enough to be interesting and engaging. And as a curriculum director, getting that kind of feedback is just a real celebration to think about all the work of the team and the authors and the support from office and leadership in making curriculum an important priority for our school so that we can have an excellent education opportunity for families and schools and for students.
Yeah, and accreditation is not easy, but it's so important. So whatever school you're looking at, whatever school you're picking, check out their accreditation. What accreditation do they have? Do they have one at all? You know, where is it from? Ask them for commendations, recommendations they've received. You know, dig into that, find out. We'd love to share with you anything that you want to know from our accreditation. And actually, you can check it out right now on a blog that just came out. If you go to our website, northstar-academy.org, we have two blogs. And so you can check out the one recently that just came out about that. Also, I'm going to record a podcast right after this one with four of our course authors that have some incredible courses that have been released recently. And so you're going to get to hear. So make sure you look for that podcast coming out soon. And then also, I just recently did one with Megan Carpenter in our guidance department. And she goes through some help on how to pick courses. Where do you even start? You are not alone at North Star Academy in any area. We have just really done a tremendous job of trying to make sure that you're never alone. We have come alongside of you with resources and tools and orientations. And so there's always someone to reach out to. And Bethany, if they want to reach out to the curriculum department, how do they do that?
They can write to curriculum at northstar-academy.org, or they can call the office and ask their questions, and they'll be guided to the right person who can answer their question. So we always at North Star want to give a plus something extra. And so when we answer your questions, we want to not just answer what you asked us, but give you a little bit extra information or connect you to something that maybe you hadn't thought about before. And so that's really our goal. And I'm sure we don't meet it all the time, but we try really hard to give just a little extra to families and parents who call or write to us. So please do not hesitate to contact us and ask any questions that you have as you're making decisions for your family.
Yes, definitely. And also, like I say on many of the podcasts, if you have a prayer request, if you want us to pray with you, call us. Like, we love to pray with our families. And so we will do that right with you on the phone, or you can email us, and promise we'll be faithful to pray for you. We do that as a team all the time. So I just really thank y'all for listening, and hopefully this has been helpful, and pass it on. Pass it on to somebody that might be considering an online education in the future. We would love for you to do that. So Bethany, thank you so much for sharing. I am so proud to have you on the team and just so thankful to call you my friend.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been really a great experience to talk with you today.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.